Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
As we welcome you to Orchard Park with 2 minutes left in a four-point game. Kirk Cousins back to throw on fourth and 18. He's given time. He wants Jefferson. Climbs the ladder. Oh, my goodness. Justin Jefferson pulled it in. The catch of his life.
I figured, Charge, I had to play the special open at least one more time. How you doing, my friend? Are you still feeling it up there?
Yeah, it doesn't feel great right now for the Vikings. We got all kinds of injury problems. We just got our asses handed to us by the Packers.
Yeah.
Ignominious loss. I would easily trade that week one thumping that we put down on the Packers for week 17. I'd reverse that in a second if I could.
All right. We got a lot to talk about. So I put this podcast to bed last night, right before I turned on the Monday Night Football game of the year. Mm-hmm. So I apologize that this is not as punctual as it could have been, but there's no way that I would have been able to do the show or the podcast correctly because we just didn't know very much. We still don't know very much. And I'm asking you, Charge, to give me a three-hour update because I took about a two-and-a-half-hour nap. And I just woke up from it now. And do we have any latest news on DeMar Hamlin?
We have no new news. And I've been refreshing Twitter all day long. trying to, you know, just get little nuggets of anything. And we don't have anything to, which is unusual, right? I mean, you know, by now, you know, we're approaching 24 hours as you and I are taping this.
Right.
And have nothing new in 20 of those 24 hours is very, very odd. And I guess maybe respectful for him. Maybe there's just no new news. But typically when something this big goes down, Zabe, I mean, you know, you get moment by moment updates. You've got doctors and, you know, in front of a podium telling us all kinds of things that have happened. And, you know, just but we don't have it. We don't know anything now that we didn't know when we went to bed last night.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a press conference from the doctors at the UC Medical Center last night. There was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Then they said, nah, it won't be till tomorrow. And then today is tomorrow. And they're like, yeah, nothing today even. The only news we have today is that they will not play the conclusion of this game this week. So yeah. This game has been frozen in amber and may or may not be unfrozen at the end of the year. Nobody knows.
No, I mean, so the alternatives, Zabe, are what? Just the game's never going to happen. And winning percentage is always the way the teams get in anyway. It's not,
sure.
It's not the number of wins. So, you know, I think that's the most likely option. Then the only other thing that's really out there, Zabe, is to literally push back all of the playoffs a week. Which is, I mean,
terrible, absolute horrible idea. I pray they don't do that.
I don't think they might. They could. Well, and they've got that extra week before the Super Bowl. You know, if they could, in theory, hold the Super Bowl's date, because there's so many things that rely on that Super Bowl being played on that day.
No, they cannot move the Super Bowl. Cannot move the Super Bowl.
Right. So you could move all of the playoffs leading up to it and have one week between the NFC-AFC championships games and the Super Bowl, like they used to do years ago.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of not great options. Correct. I think the best of the not great options would be to simply not play the game and then go by percentage and say, well, okay, here's, and that would essentially hand everything to the Chiefs as the one seed. Fine.
It would. And, you know, there's no good alternative, right? And somebody's going to come out on the short side. Somebody's going to get hurt no matter what you do. So, you know, that might be, you know, sure. Does it help the Chiefs? Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, sorry.
So that's the easiest, probably best of the bad ideas from a NFL standpoint. It's probably the worst of the solutions from your world's standpoint in terms of fantasy. Oh my God, Charge, what a disaster. Yeah, what I mean, you and everyone else going to do? I mean, what is the official ruling from guillotineleagues.com going to be? I can't imagine. Yeah. I'm surprised you have time to talk to me today. I thought you'd be in meetings all day long.
Well, you know, and we did that for the first half of the day, was us talking about how we're going to handle it. And it's not just us, it's everybody in the,
right.
And not to turn this into all about us and our world.
We would give up all of this for young DeMar Hamlin to come out of this fine. I would love.
Absolutely.
I said today on the radio, I go, look, if they said, look, we can guarantee DeMar Hamlin ends up recovering fully and survives, but you would have to give up the rest of the football season and the Super Bowl. Would you do it? Done. I'd be like, done. Yeah. Here, just have it. Like, it'd suck. It'd be the shittiest January ever with no football. But every one of us who loves football with a soul would say, if that's the trade, it's an easy trade. Please let this young man be okay. That said, The fuck are you going to do fantasy-wise? I said, I bet every single fantasy championship game came down to this game.
Almost all of them.
Like, you show me the fantasy league in which the two teams in the final have nobody on the Bills or the right. Bengals. It doesn't exist.
You know, not often. And you know, it's going to be a small portion of them based on what we're seeing on our site. And every fantasy operator had to come up with this, right? So no matter what, if you ran any kind of season-long contest, you've got, even for that matter, a weekly contest, you got issues that you had to figure out here. For us, we, after a lot of work, decided If they do end up playing the game, and I don't think they will, if they do, we want to make sure to credit that game, and we want to make sure to use that full box score.
Right.
So we're waiting on the official word from the NFL that they're not going to play the game, which is what I suspect will end up happening. But it would make my life a lot easier if they did play the game.
I was going to say,
that takes.
Yeah, so let's pretend they don't play the game. What will you do, do you think?
We have made the decision, and we've announced it publicly. We're going to use the Monday night box score as it stands through whatever, the 5-minute mark of the first quarter. There's no alternative.
Right.
There's no alternative that doesn't victimize somebody.
Right.
And this is the closest thing we think we can do to coming up with, the best of all the bad solutions.
I know that, Guillotine Leagues is not exactly Coca-Cola or a Fortune 500 company.
Correct.
It's a nimble startup outfit. But I'm wondering, do you have lawyers?
Yes, we do. I mean, of course. How do you not have lawyers, right?
Of course we do.
We do have lawyers. Now, we did not run this through our lawyers because our terms of service do say, in the event that there is a change in the NFL schedule, act of God, if things happen, and this is all because of the pandemic, where we basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, for things like this, unexpected events that nobody can see coming, that we couldn't possibly know was going to happen, that we have the right to reserve the right to just do what we think is best. And it's not ideal. When we announced what our decision was, the funny thing is, on Twitter, the people who didn't like it and responded all had a different idea. Like, you should use the averages for all the players and roll that forward. No. You should split the pot between everybody else. No. You should simulate the outcomes. No. You should play 18 instead. Play week 18 instead.
Right.
So, I mean, there's not even a consensus on what everybody else would do anyway.
No, but that's, of course, for public leagues. Private leagues, you'll be able to do whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever you want.
And I can imagine the knockdown, drag-out arguments that are going to ensue from this, because everyone's got their own idea of what is the most equitable thing, and you just listed a number of possible options.
Correct. And so, it's just, a terrible spot for everybody to be in. Again, obviously, none
more so. It's the least important thing, but it's also part of the whole... just the whole story itself. I mean, talk about a force majeure situation.
Yeah, the definition of it right here.
Partially, absolutely. Yeah, partially frozen game with so much riding in the championship round with possibly no easy way to resume it or to play it again or anything else.
Yes. Wow. Now, to the credit of the fantasy football playing community at large, I did not see, or we did not get any inquiries into our customer service. I did not see any tweets for over 24 hours. Roughly 24 hours, not until the next afternoon, about people wondering about the implications for their fantasy team. I thought the community at large was unbelievably good about
responsible
this.
About not being that guy with DeMar Hamlin's life in the balance, tweeting, "Oh, hey, what about the scores from this week?"
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
And I wasn't sure what to expect. And fantasy players, as I tweeted, fantasy players get stereotyped as myopic zealots all the time.
Oh,
right.
Terribly so. Yeah.
Yes. And there was remarkable restraint. Very happy about that.
Yeah. Far as the injury goes, my goodness. Talk about scary. Talk about fluky. Talk about wow. We've gotten lucky for pretty much our entire adult lives, right?
Yeah.
Watching the NFL, that the last time anyone ever actually died on the football field was Chuck Hughes of the Lions in 1971, a 28-year-old wide receiver who died away from the play. He was a decoy on a play and just dropped dead. He had a arterial blockage of like 75% they didn't know about.
Right.
And they took him away. And they actually finished the game in like a stunned sort of zombie-like trance, but they finished the game. And then the Lions players found out afterwards, he did not make it.
Yeah, which they didn't. My understanding is they didn't know that when they were playing out the game. But maybe that's not the case. And boy, were things different in 1971, right? than now. We're all seeing everything in real time and sharing everything online at the same time. You know, very different now. And you know, this was it. You know, this was a play that you never would have looked at twice, right, Zabe?
No. I mean,
you know, there was never a reason. There was that kind of play was not the kind of play where you look and go, my God, you know, the guy got destroyed on this play and we've got to do something to change the sport. I don't think that's going to be the answer that comes out of this.
Yeah. And of course, everyone's now, you know, the one thing that I hate is people say, don't try to play doctor. Let the doctors do the doctoring, radio boy. And I'm like, do you see me actually scrubbing in? Do you see me actually looking at scans here? No, you don't, fuckwad. This is what we do in radio. We try to talk about the situation. We try to figure out, learn some things medically, and then we responsibly speculate. That's what we do. You shouldn't speculate. Well, why the fuck not? You know, sports radio is supposed to be guys sitting around at a bar and to translate that over the air. Now, there's more rules about doing it respectfully on the radio, and there's certain things that you probably wouldn't want to say or a tone that you want to make sure that you're projecting. But yeah, this is what we do. You talk about it. Holy shit. What could it have been? What do you think? You know, did they handle it right on the field? And talking about the announcers as well, I think Van Pelt and Ryan Clark were fantastic. I think Susie Colbert and Adam Schefter were zilches. But I understand it was a very challenging situation. So there's a lot of layers to this.
That was a very tough spot. And I think broadly, almost everybody feels that ESPN handled it correctly and that they've applauded the studio crew.
Well, a lot of people are applauding because nobody wants to be that guy on Twitter to say, God, you know, Susie Colbert and Adam Schefter were complete zilches. Like, here's my problem. Two problems. One is, yeah, I know, Susie, you're in shock. It's horrible. You're emotionally shook. Part of the job is being a pro, which is to take a moment during the many breaks that they took where they're just like, let's go to break. And you're like, yeah, oh my God, during the break, sit down, note card, write a quick outline, dot, 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 work with your producers and say, okay, here's where we're going next segment. And then go there professionally with the right tone and everything else. My problem with Schefter is he's paid $8 to $10 million, right, Charge, as an NFL insider?
Yep.
Did he bring any fucking inside information in the moment with his magic cell phone and all of his contacts?
Save, there was none to be had in that moment.
Right. That's where he, for $8 million a year, is supposed to have one or two. That's the way I look at it.
I think nobody had it. I mean, you know, it. You know, the guy's being transported to the emergency room. Intubated. There was no inside info to have.
So just let it be known, for the record, what $8 million a year buys you for a so-called plugged-in, knows everything, knows everybody, NFL insider, when the chips are down, when the rubber meets the road, he's not worth much. He's not worth the next guy just looking stunned and sad and, oh, this is so horrible. Not impressed. I'm not impressed.
Granted, this is uncharted territory, but I am with you in this regard. So the sequence of events here in terms of the TV part of it is the injury happens and they cut to commercial, which happens on pretty much every injury, right? They cut to commercial. They come back. They're back for 15 seconds or 10 seconds. And Joe Buck says, there's nothing to tell. You know, it doesn't even say how serious it is, but says, you know, there's nothing new. There's nothing to tell. And we go back to the break. And I'm thinking, that was odd.
Right.
And then we came back again and immediately went to break again. And I think at that point, we may have said that there was CPR on the field, but it might have been another break. And then they finally go in studio after that.
Right.
So there was a long lead up. And, part of what your job is sometimes to just tap dance and to talk about, find ways to talk about things that maybe you don't want to have to talk about and try to enlighten people. Booger could have told us about the humanity of a team, how these are really people at the end of the day, and that we tend to think of them as being, you know, different than humans. But at the end of the day, these are all human beings that are, you know, that have families, blah, blah, blah. He could have done a lot of this. And Susie would give Booger a 20-second lead-up question And then Booger would just say, I don't know what to say.
Right.
And that's a tough spot.
Yeah,
and,
fair enough. Booger was not great either. And I know I'm judging them on a very tough moment. But then again, that's what being a pro is supposed to be all about.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The thing that I found unbelievably infuriating was the people on Twitter that got outraged about how long it took the NFL to officially announce the game was off. Because I believe it was about an hour between the time that Hamlin went down to when they officially called the game. And people are screaming on Twitter, just cancel the game. What's taking so long? I don't get it. I'm like, okay. Do you know how many people are involved in putting on an NFL game? All the personnel, we're talking two full football teams, their support staff, the coaches, the equipment managers. How about all the field crew that's there, the police, the fire, the EMS, the broadcasters, the hundreds of reporters there as well, the 70,000 fans, etc. There's nothing wrong with saying everyone sit tight for just a second here so we know what the fuck we're doing and what we're saying. It was this rush to, if you don't cancel the game now, you're a heartless, soulless ghoul as a league. And I'm like, that's not how the NFL works. It's a great narrative. I get it. It makes you feel morally superior. But you and I, Charge, know plenty of people in the NFL. They, too, are real people with wives and husbands and kids and families. And they're normal, rational people. They're not like, get the fuck out there and play. We got television money to collect on this. That's not how they are.
No, not those people aren't. And that's, you know, the people that make the whole operation work on a day in and day out basis. The people that are, you know, running machinery and the people that are, you know, doing the field and the people that work in the video and the scouts.
But don't you even think the higher echelon, even that stooge Goodell, don't you at least give them credit for being actual people with a soul that aren't going to be like, well, that's too bad. He nearly died. Keep playing. I don't think they're that way. I have no use for Goodell, but I don't see him as this absolute soulless monster.
Yeah, I want to believe that that's the case, and I don't hate Goodell, and I think the people like boo Goodell for every pick are absurd. And you know, if you want, you know, and by the way, part of Goodell's job is to be hated. By the way, he's there to take the heat for the teams and the owners of the teams. He's supposed to be the lightning rod for the hate, not the individual owners who are making all the big decisions for the league.
Sure, sure.
And that's, you know, that's part of his job.
You know, he was also, by the way, Hamlin was, I think, down on the field, was not fully taken off for almost 30 minutes. So if they waited another 30 minutes to finally go, okay, the game is off. I also said, you know, they could have made the decision internally, like, yeah, we're not restarting this game, but we don't want to announce it now because we still have to get his mom to the ambulance. We want to make sure that there's not a rush of people leaving the stadium that would clog up the side streets leaving, as that we want the, you know, we want the ambulance to not be clogged getting out of here, so we're not going to announce it now. That could have also been in the equation. We don't know, you know.
Yeah, that, you know, that's fair. And I think I got caught up in that to some degree. I admit it now. And I think in retrospect, I don't have any problem with the timing.
You were one of those guys. Am I ripping you inadvertently? I didn't see your tweets.
No, you know what I said, you know, I tweeted something to the effect of, I understand there's a ton of logistics that have to happen, which nobody was talking about, although Skip Bayless wandered quasi into that, that morass himself.
Right.
And I understand it's a fluid situation. I wish it could have been handled more quickly than it was, or something like that.
Okay, a little bit more efficient.
But that was it. But it was not vitriol.
The other big thing that got people stirred up was the so-called 5-minute decision.
Well, that reasonably so, I think. That's, to me, still the most troubling part, not to you.
No, because here's what we don't know. We don't know who exactly said what about how much time, 5 minutes, few minutes, let's take a pause, et cetera, et cetera. Also, of the 100 or so times, like I calculated every year, there's probably one or two times that NFL games have stopped for serious injuries that require players on knees, a backboard because of possible paralysis, right? And a stretcher, and at least maybe an injury cart, maybe even an ambulance on rare occasions.
Yeah, I don't ever remember an ambulance, but it's probably happened before, and we don't remember.
Yeah, on average, I'd say it's twice a year. So let's count 50 years of watching football, plus minus, about 100 times in my life. Do you know how many times in my life, those 100 times, they have not started the game away?
They've started all of them.
None of them. 100 out of 100. So in other words, the 5-minute grace period, if that was someone's actual call, was actually the most benevolent grace period given for one of these situations in my lifetime.
Here's the difference. Hold on. Yeah, no, there's a serious difference here.
They were
administering CPR and he got the paddles on the field.
So CPR means cancel the game immediately, no matter what happens in the ambulance.
Doesn't mean cancel it immediately, but it doesn't mean start the game in 5 minutes either.
What about 10 minutes? If they had said you got 10 minutes and then we're going to start the game, would that be okay?
Listen, if the 5-minute thing is legit, it was a total and complete misread of the situation and never should have happened. If it is legit, we don't know that it is yet because nobody's answered to this yet. This is totally inappropriate, given that the guy's heart stopped on the field. He was literally, his heart stopped.
Right.
They had, you know, if you've got a player literally dying on the field, you can't be invoking the 5-minute rule.
So is it 10 or is it 30 for a defibrillator?
Should
you announce to the crowd, okay, everyone's really shook down here. We're going to wait until we feel like playing again. Sit tight. Thank you. Concession stands will stay open.
It is a pause and learn more before you go back to the game.
Okay.
Assess all the information, figure out what you have to. If a player's heart stops on the field and he is literally dying on the field, you better take your time.
Okay. But had they resumed after an hour, would you have been okay with it?
No. At 1 hour into this thing and seeing the players crying and knowing that this guy's life was hanging in the balance, no.
If they got
the players
word,
are clearly not ready.
Right. If they got word back that, hey, he's conscious and aware of his circumstances, breathing on his own, then would you do it?
Even though he coded out on the field? I tweeted exactly what I would have done. The scenario where you come back would have been this. Number one, that Damar Hamlin is likely to be okay. Number two is both coaches have to say our players are ready to play. If those three things do not all happen, you can't play the game, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, the thing about being ready to play the game mentally, some of these players are going to have a hard time for the rest of the year. It just is what it is. It was that traumatic. They have been through a very traumatic moment with their brother. on the field. And so had they played the game Tuesday night or Wednesday night, or even playing their Week 18 game, Buffalo and Cincinnati is going to be a challenge, if you ask me.
Well, but obviously,
wouldn't you agree?
Well, it will be a challenge, but nowhere near the challenge of what it would have been in the moment.
I understand
when you're
that.
Seeing somebody whose heart is stopped.
I mean, understand that. The other thing about the 5 minutes is, I invoked the Juicy Iverson rule. Do you remember Allen Iverson's mom, Juicy, who once challenged a reporter over where did you hear that
get
from?
Get out of my face with that crazy stuff.
That's only here.
Where you get that from?
Where'd you get that from? 5 minutes.
Did Tawana tell you that?
Iverson's wife.
Did Tawana tell you that?
I haven't spoken with Tawana.
All right, then. Don't go there with me. Don't go there with me. Don't go there with me. You
want to
keep it real, you keep it real with me. Because I ain't front no games.
I ain't front no games. So we don't know who said 5 minutes or anything else. I look at it more generously like, okay, the league said, holy shit, this has never happened, but all right, let's collect our breath here. He did have a pulse when he left the field. He was actually alive, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's keep playing because 100 out of 100 times, give or take, we keep playing.
Yeah, it's just nobody's heart stopped on the field. It changes it. By the way, there's an ESPN statement on the 5 minutes. Have you seen this?
Yeah, they said we stand by our reporting that we did not speculate.
Yep. And yep, they said we are in constant communication in real time between ESPN and league and game officials. And as a result of that, we reported what we were told in the moment. So this thing, we still haven't gotten a firm answer on where they were told
the five minute rule. Well,
but
that's part of the fog of war in the moment of whose call was it. It's not like the NFL put out on letterhead. Please wait 5 minutes, then resume the game. It was a fluid situation, and I think one has to consider the fact that in every other game in which there's been a serious injury, the game went on. That's the toughest thing in all of this, Charge, is that shit goes on. In life, shit goes on, right?
You know, time does not stop. Life continues through when you're having the worst day of your life, Zabe. The rest of us are just going about our business, just having our life, and our lives continue. And that is, it's the way the world works.
Yeah, I want to believe, and knowing nothing about his current medical condition, but I want to believe, and I think in my mind, I can see this. I can see a beautiful scene at a Bills home game. Sometime, hopefully in the near future, if not the near future, the next year, involving DeMar Hamlin and a rousing ovation from the Bills
for
faithful,
sure,
who have rallied around him like a family. I want to manifest that into being because it would be beautiful and powerful, and I pray for it, and I hope it happens.
Yeah, me too. I want to believe that the news blackout that we're getting right now is ultimately just going to be, it's going to turn out to be good news, but who knows, Dave? Let's hope that's the case. It would throw, honestly, put a pall over the rest of the, you know, it'd be terrible. Obviously, needless to say, bad for everybody involved. And you know, the whole thing would be horrible if it goes worse.
There's the guilt of those of us that enjoy this sport so much, and you know, make a significant portion of our living on it, or more than just a portion of our living on it. There is that guilt of, man, you know, this is tough. I mean, these men are putting their lives on the line for us and for me, right?
Yeah. Now, you know, this, it leads to another discussion about, you know, the violence of the game. And this was, you know, what we love about football,
right,
is it's the violence of the game. I mean, that's part of it. You know, we're not there because they're really, really fast. We don't watch track. You know, they're even faster, and we don't sit around and watch track.
Right.
You know, we part of the appeal is the violence of the game. And while this was not a violent hit, and I'm thankful for that, I think that's still, you know, it's still part of the equation is, and part of what we love. It's, you know, going back to the gladiators, right, Zabe? You know, this is, we
are you not entertained? Right. The, in the Roman times when they put the gladiator in the Colosseum, They didn't just say, all right, show me some sword skills against this, you know, log. Right.
Dummy.
Or right. a dummy. Yeah. They yeah. released live lions and tigers yes. and said, fight to the death.
Unbelievable. Man versus man. You know, they,
yeah,
you know, they,
right.
You know, until you
one know, man versus somebody. Multiple men.
Yes.
Are you not entertained? Oh, you know, man. Just, I also worry, and this is for longer down the road, that they're going to now try to layer in, because bureaucracies always want to be seen as doing something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something. They're going to layer in more rules designed to prevent a once-in-52-years comet of unfortunate that happened on Monday night, and there's no way... You can do that. There's too many collisions that look just like the one.
Just like that one. Yes.
That happened, yes. right?
Yeah. It was just, and thank God for that, because I had the same worry and still have the same worry that they are going to even take another step. Right.
Right.
Yes. Yep. And I because that hit was not vicious and it was relatively tame. And it was a nondescript, utterly nondescript play. I want to believe that they're not going to ultimately do that.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Maximus, Gladiator. All right, real quick on the Vikings-Packer game. So you say it stung, hurt, has it shook Viking Nation?
Oh, yeah. More now, the loss hasn't shook it as much as seeing life with a center who has never hiked the ball before, and losing our star right tackle. And that game, it all fell apart when those wheels came off with those two injuries in the game. That was it.
Your left tackle didn't impress me much either. The big fat 71 with his shirt untucked.
Darisaw is like the second or third highest graded tackle by PFF this year.
Is he really?
He's had a very good year. Me too did not have a great game,
okay.
But nobody did. But it was our right tackle and our center. I mean, we literally couldn't. We could barely hike the ball. It was ridiculous.
No, the Packers A-gap pressured you guys to death, basically.
Yes.
And Justin Jefferson, you know, he's a great player. He let Jair get in his head. Even admitted so afterwards. Like, he just does that taunting to get in my head. Well, it worked, didn't it?
It did work. Yeah, it did work. And they got at him early, too. Intentionally, and he let it get to him, and now we went from wondering, is Justin Jefferson going to set and break the all-time single season receiving record, to now it's impossible.
Yeah,
and the Vikings may not even play their starters this week.
I was gonna say, the one thing though that you can I maybe have some solace in, you'll catch the Giants now, most likely.
Yes,
that's a better catch than to get the Packers again in a week.
Yeah,
wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. We just beat the Giants. We'll take the Giants in a second right now.
Oh, God. All right. Prayers
what
up.
A weird year.
Prayers up for DeMar Hamlin. Good luck to you and all the other fantasy operators out there. And a word of advice for those that are in a private fantasy league to decide how you're going to figure out the championship. This is not for life-changing money, people. Don't end friendships over this
great
one.
Advice. Great advice. Great advice. Yeah, you got it, my man. Talk to you later.
Charge, thanks, buddy. See ya.
Music. That's right, because like, my brother and I are now experts in the field.
Yeah,
eh?
Right, because we're a band now. And,
well, so. Except for him. I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that, making me look bad? You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
Take off to the great wide north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great wide north.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.